It's great for us to be back here this evening. I, again, do hope you brought your Bibles. We're going to be reading some Scripture. I appreciate that song that was led right there at the end, Only in Thee. I didn't ask Dennis to lead that, but it is a song about my lesson, actually. He nearly preached it, but I'm going to preach mine anyway. I always encourage everyone to take a Bible when I preach because I'm human. And I don't care whether it's me or whether it's Michael or whether it's anybody, we all ought to take our Bibles and check out the preacher because we can make mistakes. And this morning I did make a mistake and I want to correct that. I said that there were no rebels in church. No rebels, no rebellious folks here, that they're all out there. And that's not true. There are rebellious people in every congregation. Sad to say that the church is not as perfect as God would want it to be. We are human. We fail. We do things wrong. We cause trouble sometimes. We promote different doctrines within each and every congregation. A lot of things happen. It happens here, happens in Brownwood, happens in Steveville. You can't find a congregation of people that doesn't have some kind of a problem. And so I want to correct that because there is a problem in the church, there is a problem out of the church, but in my exuberance to evangelize, I simply overlooked that fact. And I had it pointed out to me, and I thank the people for listening, and I always thank people for pointing out errors that I preach. And I wanted to make sure I got that on here because we've got tapes coming out. We've got CDs coming out. And I don't want somebody to listen to the first CD without listening to the second CD. So we need to put that on there. Be sure and watch or listen to the second CD. Now, we've got a theme here. Living in America with a spiritual commitment. And this America that we live in, I pointed out this morning, it is such a wonderful and such a grand place. It is the land of the free, the home of the brave, the land where you can do just about anything you want to do. And it is because of some of the freedom that we have that sometimes we overlook our spiritual responsibilities. Sometimes we forget to put our trust where our trust actually needs to be. And in my lifetime, living in this United States of America, I never in one day of my lifetime, up until the last several years, ever was afraid of the government that backed me up. Never until the last few years. And then I began to call into question even my own government. I never thought that would happen in my lifetime. And it just goes to show me that my trust has got to be in the right place. Because it doesn't make any difference where I live. If I live here in this United States of America or if I live over in a communist country, I can still be a Christian, but only if my trust is where it needs to be. Only. Well, I may not like it, the country in which I live, but I can always be a Christian anywhere that I live. Now, I want to share with you a story. There was a time when I would not pick up a coin or a penny that was on the ground. You ever do that? Walk through a parking lot and you see a penny and you just keep it going? I used to do that all the time. But I don't do it anymore. I pick up a coin. I pick up that penny every single time I see it. Because somehow it just seems wrong to pass by that penny and not pick it up. Now, a penny won't buy much. You know, when I was a little kid, I'd buy some of that Super Bubble or Double Bubble or whatever you call it. It was sure good. You could buy it for a penny. You can't buy anything for a penny. Now, even if you had a whole handful of pennies, you couldn't even buy a Snicker bar with a whole handful. But somehow it just seems wrong to walk by and not pick up that penny. And I read a story not too long ago that gave me a different respect for pennies and money in general, and I want to share with you this story. There was a man, a very elegant man, that had a dinner date with a lady friend, and they went to this nice fancy restaurant, going to cost a pretty penny, if you will, to get out of this place. And as they were walking from the car to the restaurant, this man stopped and picked up a penny. And when he picked up that penny, he held it up and he looked at that penny as if it were a great treasure. And then he took that penny and he stuck it back in his pocket and they went to dinner. And this lady, it just nagged her. She just couldn't stand it. She wondered to herself, why in the world would he bother to pick up a penny? It's just a single penny. What's going through that man's mind? And it nagged on her and nagged on her and nagged on her. You know, things like that have a way of nagging on some folks. And it nagged on her until she finally said, kind of casually, you know, my daughter used to have a coin collection. Do you suppose that penny that you found was of some value? And at that point, he started to grin. And he pulled that penny back out of his pocket. And he says, here, I want you to hold that penny. And she says, what's the point? I've seen lots of pennies before. He said, no, take this penny. I want you to look at it. He said, read what it says on that penny. And she says, United States of America? He said, no, read down further. 1 cent? No, read further. In God we trust? He says, yes. And that's the point. That is the whole point. In God we trust. And if I trust God, then His name is holy, even if it's written on a coin. And when I pick up a coin, I see that inscription. And it's written on every single coin that is minted in the United States of America. As a matter of fact, it's written on every dollar bill that is printed in the United States of America, and we often don't even seem to see it. He said, it's just like a message that is dropped there before me, telling me to trust God. And who am I to walk by and not take that? He said, when you think about it, this penny tells me to trust Him. I need to trust in God. And that's exactly what that penny is telling me. And I'm not about to pass it by. He says, I think it's kind of like my way of starting a conversation with God. Lucky for me, pennies are plentiful and my God is patient. Several weeks later, this lady was walking out of a mall, been shopping. And because of what this man had told her, she walked out of there, and wouldn't you know it, there was a penny laying right there on the sidewalk. And she walked over there and picked up that penny, and she read that inscription, "In God we trust." And it just dawned on her right then. Said, you know, I have been worrying myself sick about things that I can't change. And a smile came across her face. And she says, I get it. I get the message. I'll trust you, God. And I'll stop worrying. Lucky for me, pennies are plentiful and God is patient. Now I want us to build on that thought. In God we trust. There are some thoughts that I have this evening about trusting God. And that song that we sang just a moment ago was about trusting God. Did you notice the words of that song? How many times trust in God was mentioned in that song? You know, we have problems every day. Each and every one of us have problems. Each and every one of us have stresses that we go through. And some of us even think that our stresses are so bad that we can't really handle these things. And we look at these problems and we look at these challenges. And friends, we need to understand that we need to trust in God. You see, as Christians, we've got to know that God is with us. As Christians, we've got to know that God is going to guide us through the Word. As Christians, we need to know that God is going to help us. And do you know that we have reminder after reminder after reminder in the Word of God that we are to trust Him? Do you realize that there are 134 specific passages concerning our trust in God, and that doesn't even count the hundreds upon hundreds that are implied that we should trust in God? I want you to take your Bibles and look at the 56th Psalm, if you will. You know, it's interesting, when we look at the Psalms, every one of us, we have our special and our favorite Psalms. And some will have the 23rd Psalm, and some like the 1st Psalm, and some like the 91st Psalm, some the 73rd, some even the 119th Psalm with all 172 verses. That's their favorite Psalm. And you know, when we have all of our favorite Psalms, it's usually 4 or 5 or 6, and then all of the rest of the Psalms, they're just kind of there. And we don't really read them the way that we ought to. Now, the 56th Psalm is about trust. And perhaps it is that after we read this with the idea of trusting God, perhaps this will become one of our favorite Psalms as well. And I want you to read this with me. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Mine enemy would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God will I praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In Thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Friends, think about that. Put my tears, God, in your bottle. Are not all of my tears written in your book? You think God doesn't know you're struggling? You think God doesn't know that you have challenges? Of course He does. He knows the tears that you shed and can number them. But let's go on. When I cry unto Thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is me, for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will Thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I might walk before God in the light of the living? Trust in God. The 73rd Psalm, Thou shalt guide me with a counsel and afterward receive me into glory. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 we read, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Friends, we need to trust God. Really trust God. And you know, getting back to that penny just a moment ago, not just when we accidentally find a penny on the street are we to read that inscription to remind us to trust in God. But do you know, every time that we hand money to a cashier for something that we have purchased, we ought to take just a moment to read that inscription, in God we trust. And then we ought to make sure that it's not in the money that we trust, not in that piece of money, but it is in God that we do trust, because there's a warning about that in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the God that gives all things richly, that blesses us with all things richly. Friends, that's what we need to trust in, is God. Now, I've got a question or two for you tonight. Do we allow the cares and the problems of this life to overshadow our faith in God, so that we allow those worries to just creep into our mind? I want you to notice with me the words of encouragement from Jesus Christ about this very thing. It's in Matthew chapter 6 in His Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm sure you have read this on many different occasions, but I want you to read it with me again. Because in verse 24, he starts very appropriately with what we cannot trust, what we may not put our trust in. He says there in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For he will love the one and hate the other, or he will hold to the one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then with that premise set, he says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And how many of us, every September or every August, fret about school clothes for the kids? Or how many of us walk into the closet and look in that closet and say, oh, I just don't have anything to wear. I'm going to have to go to my other closet and look in there. Oh, we got plenty of clothes. We've got plenty. God has blessed us with more. And I see a lot of people smiling up there because you know your wife got two closets. You know that. God supplies. God is the great supplier. An overabundance of supply. Now look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Don't you get it? That's what he's saying. Do you not get it? The world out there, they seek those things. God knows that you have need of those things. God supplies those things. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, friends, that's just way too simple. What he's telling us here, you trust me. Trust me to supply. Trust me for all of your needs. You just concentrate on seeking first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. I'll tend to you. How many of us trust that? How many of us truly, truly put our trust in that? Do we really trust God? Do you realize that one of the most essential building blocks of your and my spiritual life is trust in God? Because it's built on your faith. You see, you've got faith as a foundation, and then you've got trust in God. And if your faith is weak, then your trust is going to be weak. If your faith is strong, your trust is going to be strong. Your faith, friends, comes from the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have you ever considered the definition of the word trust? I want you to consider it with me. Because we're talking about living right here in the land of plenty. Living right here, never wanting for anything. Oh, there's a lot of things that we want, but never needing anything. Living here in America and trusting God. You see, when we are without, our trust goes weak sometimes. And we never need to let that happen. Consider with me the definition of trust. Listen to these words. A firm belief in the honesty and the reliability of another. The firm belief, the firm faith. We're standing on the faith here. The firm belief in the honesty and the reliability of another. Do you realize that when we don't trust God, we're calling into question His honesty? We're calling into question the reliability of God when we refuse to put our faith in Him. You see, what we're talking about here is confident expectation. And how happy can we possibly make God when we say, oh, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I'm just not real confident that you can do what you say that you can do. And so we have people pray to God and never really believe that He's going to answer the prayer. We have people say, you know, God, I really do trust you, but I'm going to work on Sunday just in case. Is that trust? Friends, is that trust in our God? The Word of God is the source of our trust. Now, friends, the building block of our faith, the building block of our spiritual life, one of the most essential building blocks, is our trust in God. That yes, He can deliver. That yes, He can fulfill those promises. And friends, if we don't have that trust, we're in dire straits. We must have that trust. The source of our trust is the Word of God. I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as His divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Everything you ever wanted to know about life, everything you ever wanted to know about godliness is known and found in the Word of God. The Word of God, the knowledge, the mind of God that is revealed unto us. And the more we know about the mind of God, the more we can trust Him, because the greater our faith is. Friends, it's just so difficult to emphasize the importance of our trust in God. You see, God is the great supplier. God is the great supplier. He is the giver of all good things. James chapter 1 and verse 17. All those good things, every good thing and every perfect thing is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights. Every single spiritual blessing that is ours in this country, every single physical blessing that is ours, it comes right straight from the throne of God. Now that ought to be an awesome thought for each and every one of us. How many times has He cared for us? How many times has He provided for us? How many times has He pulled us out of these wrecks that we get ourselves in? How many times? And yet, we have a lack of trust in God. You see, in this life that we live here in this United States of America, we want to live one life. We want to live that spiritual life on Sundays and Wednesdays. And we want to live that life out there in this America that can supply us with all of the pleasurable things that we want. We want to live that life without the Word of God guiding us. And because we have that conflict in our own mind, we have a lack of trust of God. You know, we say one thing, and then God says something else. And it's because of our lack of trust. We say things like, it's impossible. Oh, that's just not possible. And God says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 27, the things which are impossible with men, they are possible with God. And we say, when we get these negative attitudes and we get these defeatist attitudes because of a lack of a trust in God, we say things like, I'm too tired. I just can't go anymore. I just can't do it anymore. And Jesus will say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Because of our negative attitudes, because of our defeatist attitudes, we get all pouty-faced every now and then, and we get over in our little pity corner of the house, and we say, you know, really, nobody really loves me. But God says, I love you, and I've loved you from the very beginning of time. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, that's you. For God so loved America, that's you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, friends, we live in this country, and sometimes, yes, things are stressful. Sometimes we look at our physical condition and we say, I just can't go on. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. We say, I can't figure things out. How many times have you thought that? I just can't figure this out. God says, trust me. You can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Remember, nobody can do it alone. That's one of our problems. We say we trust God, and then we try to do it alone. We try to do it without Him. We try to leave God and His Word over here. We want to close Him up in a closet and then go out there. And that's what causes us to say things like this. Say things like, I'm just not able to do it, God. And then God says, you trust me. I am able to make all a grace abound unto you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. I am able, he says. But we get this defeatist attitude. We get this negative attitude. And we as Christians, especially when we're younger, going to high school and going to college, and we want to be that good, faithful Christian guided by the Word, and we know that all of our friends are doing things that we don't get to do. Things that are not according to God's will and according to God's way. And our friends are out there doing these things, and we say things like, well, you know, it's just not worth it. God says, trust me, it will be worth it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You know, oftentimes we get ourselves in a situation and that defeatist attitude, that negative attitude comes again. You say, I just can't manage. God says, trust me. I will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Every time we have a negative attitude and say one thing, God says something else. He says, we say, I am afraid. And as He said to this morning, like a tender, loving father would to a small child that was afraid, He says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Don't forget me. I am with you. Don't close me up. Don't leave me at home. Take me with you. I'll go with you. Just don't turn your back on me. You know, we say things like, I'm always worried. I'm just always worried. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Trust me. Trust me, I care for you. We say things like, I just feel all alone. I feel all alone. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Again, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then Psalms 34 and the verse 7 is, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him and delivers them. Friends, as we live in this United States of America, we need to stop looking to the wrong source. We need to start looking to the source of our strength, the source of our hope, the source of our power, and the source of our trust. Friends, our strength does not come from our government. Our source of supply does not come from our Social Security check. We need to put our trust in the one and the source from whence it comes, in God. That's who we are to trust. And we've got to look to Him constantly. And we must build up this most holy faith. And we do that by getting into this Word. And the more of the Word that we can accumulate, the more that we know and the more that we understand, the greater our faith and the greater our trust is in God. And that's what He wants. Don't you know that we cause God Himself great grief when we don't trust Him? Great grief. when we do not trust Him. Now, one last thing. In God we trust. I want you to think of the significance of that statement. Not of the statement itself, but I want you to think about the significance of the origin of that statement on every coin in the United States of America. You see, when this country was started, it was founded by believers in God. They weren't all Christians, but they were believers in God. And they wanted everybody to know that the trust of the people in this country was not in themselves. It was not in their money. It was not in the country and the power of the nation. And it wasn't even in their leaders. But the trust of the people in this country, the founding fathers wanted everybody to know that it was in God. That's where our trust is. In the 118th Psalm, in verse number 8, it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord, in verse 19, than to put confidence in princes. And that word princes is used as rulers. In God we trust. You see, the founders of this United States of America wanted that ideal to be so burned into and embedded into the hearts and the minds of the citizens of this country that they would advertise it every time they exchanged money one to another. And never in the annals of history has a nation declared that their trust was not in human power and ability, but that their trust was in God Himself. And friends, in this country right now, this is being severely tested. Severely tested. Right now, our government is supposed to be for we the people. But we the people are not doing a lot of things that we want done. It is being done for us. And the principles of righteousness, in many occasions for the last couple of years, has been thrown right out the window. Immorality and the promotion of immorality, it just comes daily, one day after another, after another, after another. We see homosexuality and the radical agenda being promoted and pushed upon our nation. We see the Planned Parenthood agenda, which all in the world it is a fancy name for pro-abortionists, the ones that want to kill and dismember infants in the womb. It is pushed upon our country, and this trust is being annihilated by the country that we all once trusted with our lives and with our security. It's being severely tested today. And friends, our prayers are needed for this country. That this country would come back and return to the righteousness that actually exalts a nation. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. And friends, we are legislating sin just as fast as they can spit out the paper in this country. We need to pray for our country. Four words say it all. In God we trust. Friends, it's just a penny, but it preaches a powerful lesson. And we need to pray for the nation. We need to pray that we could get the nation to trust in God and not in man and his evil devices. You see, it is God that has the power of our salvation. He has the power to save our souls through this word and in obedience to it. He has the power to actually pull this nation back out of the dregs. But it's all up to us, the Christians of this nation, to turn the America that we once knew back to the America that God would bless again. Friends, it's just a penny. But you might not know this, but I do firmly believe that with all of the things that have happened in the last several years, and the drift that we have away from God and into absolute immorality and worldliness that is promoted by the government itself, we have now people looking to God that never looked there before. Because they can see it crumbling before their very eyes, because all of their life, their trust was put in a government and in people instead of God. And we now have an opportunity to reach out and teach some people that at one time had a heart as hard as that pavement out there, but now their trust has come tumbling down because there's nothing to trust in. You want, and we want, we always wonder, you know, if I just had some way, some easy way to get a Bible study started, or an easy way to approach somebody and talk to them about the Bible. Friends, you got a pocket full of those reasons. In God we trust. There's your segue. There's your foot in the door. Everybody's got a penny. Thank God that they're plentiful. Thank God that we live in a country that is free right now. And pray to God that we can continue to live in this country and the freedom that we enjoy today. We've got to get back to the Word. And we've got to get that Word to our country. I grieve over our country. And I hope you do too. I know God is grieving over our country and the direction that we are now taking. But we can stop it. We can't just throw up our hands and take that defeatist attitude and say, I can't do it. We just got through reading all the scriptures that says, God says, you can do it. You got to get up and go after it. And we've all got our part to do. You see, this nation will be saved one soul at a time. And God's children are going to be responsible for saving the country, if she's going to be saved at all. The power of God unto salvation. If you're here tonight and you do not, if you have not been obedient to the gospel plan of salvation, you need to know that God's power can save you. And obedience to His Word can save your soul. If you will hear the Word of God, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, upon that belief, upon that faith that comes from the Word of God, we are then to repent, stop doing the wrong things, the immoral, the unrighteous things, and start doing the right things according to God. When that repentance takes place, we can then confess the sweet name of Jesus before men as being the Son of God and be buried into that watery grave of baptism for the remission of our sins. Friends, we've only just begun when we've done that. We need to take this Word. We need to accumulate enough faith to cause us to have trust. And then keep on accumulating that knowledge that God has put here in this book for each and every one of us. And get out of the pew and go do something for God. Evangelize this great and marvelous country. And if you're here and you are a Christian and you've fallen back into the world, you brought reproach upon the church. Perhaps it is that you've torn the church down as bad as the government is tearing our country down. Perhaps it's not quite that bad. Whatever the need may be today, won't you please come as we stand and sing the invitation song.